Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you listening? I like it how a lot of you looked up all of a sudden. Which is probably the same reaction most of us have whenever somebody says that, "Are you listening?" And that's probably what we did in school. Maybe that was last week. Maybe it was a little further back. And you heard somebody say, "Are you listening?" And you looked up to see the teacher and all of the classmates looking at you because you're supposed to be answering a question that you didn't hear. Are you listening? And you look up and there stands mom or dad. Maybe this was last week. Maybe it was a few years ago. And you're standing in the middle of what you thought was a clean room. But it's not quite the way mom or dad described that it should be done. Are you listening? As you and I gather today and rejoice in what our Lord and our Savior uncovers for us on this day after the Epiphany, Jesus starts out teaching His disciples and those who are around them by saying, "I'm talking to you who are listening." The ones who are listening, those who are listening to what He has to say, His believers, His disciples. And so, by God's amazing grace, today you and I are the ones who are listening. And as we listen, Jesus wants you and me to think about what you are doing. The words that we have before us are not all that unfamiliar. They're very similar to words that He spoke on the Sermon on the Mount. Here He is on a plane saying many of the same things, teaching His disciples and helping you and me to think about what you are doing. And as you think about that, He asks us two basic questions. Two questions that might help us think about what we are doing. How would you want others to act? And how does your Father act? So think about what you are doing as you listen to what Jesus says. How would you want others to act? Well, you know how others act. You know how others act, partly because Jesus just explained it to us, but you know it because you've seen it from your own experience. You know how others act. They love those who love them. They love getting together with people that they like. They love to love those who reciprocate that love, or perhaps even gave that love first. You know how people act. They're willing to do good to those who are doing good to them. As long as you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. We know how others act. They're willing to lend when they know they're going to get it back. They're willing to help somebody out, and perhaps the amount is not even an issue when you know that it's coming back. As you think about how others would act and how you would want others to act, you know exactly how they act because you and I tend to do the same thing. We love those who love us. We love getting together. We love visiting, we love talking, we love debating current events as long as they agree with us and as long as they're saying the same thing that we're saying. But if they don't, we just as soon not talk. It's how we act. We do good to those who are good for us. My kids always grumble at me whenever I say, "After everything I've let you do for me, that's what you're going to do?" We're willing to love those who love us back. We're willing to scratch somebody else's back if they've already scratched my back first. It's natural. Natural to lend when you know it's going to come back. Natural to do that back and forth kind of love to those that we think are worth our love. So think about what you are doing. And how would you want others to act? Because what Jesus says is the exact opposite. "But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies. Love those who are making your life miserable. Love those who are attacking you. Love those who are mistreating you. Do good to those who hate you. Do good to those who are doing anything but good to you. Bless those who curse you." You put blessing and cursing together and this contrast really comes up. If you want to bless someone, that means you're wishing good for them. You're wishing the best for that person. So wish the best for the person who hates you. Hating is when you're wishing the worst for someone. Cursing is when you wish something bad would happen to someone. So you wish good on those who are wishing bad and evil for you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Interesting how Jesus puts that. Engulf them in your prayers. Surround them with your prayers. Wrap them in your prayers. Bring them to your Heavenly Father's throne of grace, rejoicing in the kind of forgiveness that He's given to you. And now you bring those who are mistreating you, making your life miserable, wishing the worst for you, take them to your Father in heaven. Wrap them in your prayers. If someone strikes you on one cheek, offer the other too. If someone takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes away your things, do not demand them back. In other words, you're busy thinking about the needs of someone else. You're looking out for the welfare of those who are around you. You are busy thinking about them, and not so much thinking about yourself. So think about what you are doing. All of this leads up to what you and I have come to know as the golden rule. Treat others just as you would want them to treat you. How would you want others to act? And isn't it interesting in a phrase where it first of all sounds like, how would I like people to treat me? Jesus actually turns the whole thing around and He makes it, no, we're not really talking about how you would really want others to treat you. We're talking about how you treat others. But how would you want others to act? Maybe think about some of the things the children just talked about. How would you want someone to act if you're the one that fell? How would you want somebody to act if you were the one who was dealing with the struggles at work? This is not just a nice saying. This is not just some plaque that we hang on a wall because it sounds kind of neat. This is life. Think about what you are doing. And as you think about what you are doing, think about how you would want others to act. That's how you act. That's how you treat those who are around you. Now, I suppose we do need to be a little bit careful, because it would be very easy for you and for me to kind of make this rather superficial and trite. After all, I've got this loving thing down. For the most part, my family likes me. For the most part, I get along with everybody else. No one seems to really hate me. Things are going great. I'm pretty nice most of the time. I've got this loving thing down. And this whole love your enemies type thing, as soon as we hear Jesus talking about loving our enemies, perhaps our minds go to some foreign government who's busy doing things that I don't really like them to be doing. Perhaps my mind goes to someone who's promoting legislation or making laws that I don't particularly like and don't always agree with, and I think of them as the enemy. And so I sit in my home and I wring my hands and I'm all frustrated about all those bad things that all those bad people are doing out there in the world. Think about what you are doing. Jesus said, love your enemy. You may not agree with everything that President Putin does, but I don't think he's sitting in his office trying to figure out how to make your life miserable. You maybe don't agree with what Senator so-and-so is talking about, but I doubt those senators have any idea who you are, and they're not sitting down trying to think, okay, how can I rile up that? How can I rile up you this week? Love your enemy. So now all of a sudden, think about what you're doing. How would you want others to act? What does it look like when you love that next door neighbor girl who just posted all that stuff about your daughter out on Facebook? What does love look like when you're dealing with that person who, kind of the same idea, instead of coming and talking to you, blasted all those horrible things that you've ever done all the way out there on social media for everybody to read? What does love look like for that one who's an office or two down the hall from you who seems to be undermining everything that you're doing and trying to make you look bad in front of your bosses? How do you love the one who walked out on your brother or sister or best friend? How do you love the person who is doing nothing but making your life difficult? Think about what you're doing. How would you want others to act? And now, by God's grace, we want to live that kind of love. As well as you and I know the golden rule, and as much as we may want to try to pattern ourselves after thinking about how we want others to act, as I think about what I'm doing, there is another question that is even more important. Not so much how would you want others to act, but how did your father act? I mean, after all, you don't get any credit for being like everybody else. As Jesus walked through how everybody else tends to act, loving those who love them, lending to those that you know are going to get paid back, he says, what credit is that to you? If you're doing the same thing that everybody else is doing, what's so special about blending in? You don't even get credit for taking the high road when things go wrong, and now I'm going to do it the right way. But you do get credit for what your triune God did. Absolutely amazing. As you think about what you are doing, how did your father act? Instead, love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. How did your father act? He was kind. He saw a need and he did something about it. He saw people who had a need, and so he came and he supplied what was necessary. And what kind of people did he do that for? He was kind to the unthankful. Who are the unthankful? How many times haven't I taken his gifts for granted? How many times haven't I come to him and I questioned the gifts that he gave? How come he gave those gifts to that person but not to me? How many times haven't we taken our forgiveness for granted and we've gone through the motions and we've heard Jesus say, I forgive you all your sins, and it doesn't really affect us? We're the unthankful, and yet God was kind. He was kind to the evil. So who's that? Walk your way through the commandments. And we don't even get past number one. God has not always been first, because we all have that sinful, selfish tendency. We all have that original sin that says, I'm number one. I'm the one that comes first. I'm the one who calls the shots. I'm the one who tells God how things are supposed to go. And if God doesn't come first, then I'm certainly not going to use His name, and I'm not going to worship Him. And then this whole idea about thinking about what you're doing and thinking about the needs of others, that goes down the drain as well. I'm the one who doesn't measure up to what God says. And yet He is kind, which is precisely why He came, which is exactly why He stepped into this world. And He was kind, and He saw the need, and He supplied the need. He gave all of that perfection to replace all of our imperfection. He took our sin, the selfishness, the laziness, the anger, whatever it is, He took it all and He paid for it there on the cross. He's merciful. So think about what you were doing. How did your father act? In mercy, He comes to you and He treats us differently than we deserve. In mercy, He comes to you and He treats us in a way that we would never have expected. And He gives us the forgiveness of sins. Look at what our triune God has done for you and for me. This is all what God the Father promised. He promised already in the garden to people who were unkind and to people who were evil and those who had actually thumbed their nose at Him and for no reason at all decided they were going to listen to Satan instead of listen to God. And yet He said, one is going to come. One is going to be a descendant of Eve who's going to crush Satan's head. He's going to be born of a virgin. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. This is the one who's going to be stricken, smitten, and afflicted. And by His wounds, we are going to be healed. That's what God the Father promised. And since that's what the Father said, that's what the Son did. God Himself wraps Himself in human flesh and He steps into this world and now He uncovers Himself for you and for me. Reveals Himself as not just another man. Yes, He was born of the Virgin. Yes, He was born in Bethlehem. Yes, He is absolutely perfect. He uncovers Himself as that perfect Savior that you and I need. Perfect man to take your place. Perfect God to pay for your sin. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted, and by His wounds we have been healed. The Father said it. The Son did it. And the Spirit tells you all about it and makes it yours. He comes in the waters of your baptism, and there He wraps you in the perfection of your Savior and substitute. There He adopted you out of a family that was antagonistic and sinful and adopts you into His family. He comes in His precious Word. Day in and day out you read these amazing words. Rejoice in the forgiveness that is yours in Christ. Reminded constantly of how much He loves you. It directs your attention to Him day in and day out. He comes in that amazing supper and the Spirit says, this is the very body and blood that your Savior and your substitute sacrificed for you. Here it is. You're forgiven. Your sin is gone. Your faith is strengthened. That's how the Father acted. So think about what you were doing. And while it may be helpful to think about how others act and how you would want others to act, think about how God, the Father, acted. And then listen. Are you listening? Yep. That's why we're here. Our Lord and our God has made us listeners. The moment He called you and me to faith, we have been listening ever since. He makes us listeners of His amazing grace and love and mercy. And now we think about what we are doing. We get to uncover Him for others in day-to-day life. Think about how you want others to act. Reciprocate that to them. Think about how God acted. And then you know, this is life. We already know what our reward is. We already know it's great. We already know that our Lord and our God has secured heaven for us, and you and I are sons and daughters of the Most High. That's all His grace and all His love. No wonder we listen. No wonder we think about what we're doing. No wonder we want to love just like God loved us. Amen.